Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, Honky. It's Matt's Rule Edition. How you doing, Mac?
What's up, Redcast Gangsters? It has been another rough weekend for us fans, us diehards, us tryhards. So we're going to sit back and talk about it a little bit today, you know? Just going to lick some wounds, we'll say. But yeah, other than that, man, hey, it was nice out today. You know, these days are fast and fleeting, so it's time to get outside for a little bit. Got to have some fun in the fall.
Mac, you and I went to the game on Saturday. It was a warm one, 90-plus degrees. It was that was a tough game to be in the stands for, let alone what was going on in the field. It was a hot one. So,
yes,
Husker fans, that was a lot to ask.
Almost immediately not fun. Like, you know, that game got so irritatingly unfun so quickly. I was like, wow, and I'm sweating a lot. You know, so that's – I'm like, yeah, great time.
Anthony Hayek already with the questions, and yes, we want them to come in here. Anthony says, to avoid talking about the game, what's the best football movie ever, and why is it Remember the Titans? I kind of like Gus, the kicking mule, whatever. Do you remember that one way back in the day, Mac?
Nope.
Gus? Yeah, Gus. I think he was a donkey, and he was like a kicking donkey. And
what are you talking about?
Maybe Corey Haim might have been in it. I don't know. Long story.
Yeah, that... I don't even want to say what I'm thinking right now. Okay. Best movie about football? You know, it might be cheese or whatever, but when I was in high school and the program came out, I thought the movie was badass. You know, I think it's probably a little dated and it, you know, but it, at the time and at the place when that came out, I was like, this movie is awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about it.
Lucas. Oh, you know what? It was Lucas was the one that, that's right, Travis.
That's Lucas, the one with the mule.
That was the one. No, well, Mule is still Gus, but Lucas was, he was just a dorky little kid playing. But anyways, Generation Red Podcast. Hey boys, how you doing, Ken? Can't wait to go to your place there on Friday night. Gonna watch the game over there with him. And we're going to do a rapid reaction show on Friday night over from Ken's amazing basement studio there. Well, anyways, Redcasters, what we've been doing the last few weeks is a Sunday day after five takeaways from the game. And we just didn't do one this week, not because of the loss, partially because of it, but it was just, we figured we'd kind of tie it all together into this one. So we're going to start with our five takeaways, and that would be kind of the first half of this, but we'd really like to get a lot of your feedback here and maybe make the second half of the show really a back and forth with everyone that's watching. So to start with our five takeaways, the first one was reality check. And last week, we called last week a litmus test game, and the title of this show is Litmus Test Week Part 2. It was a litmus test. We wanted to see where we were at a week ago, and we found out. I mean, my goodness, you know, we were number one in the country or whatever it was in rush defense, and we said a week ago, Mac, we go, we'll find out, you know, do we hold Michigan to 100 yards or 65 like we were, or do they go out and have 300 yards rushing on us? Well, they went out and had, you know, damn near 300 yards rushing on us, and pretty much from the first snap they had their way and went right down the field on us that first drive. So it was definitely a reality check.
Yeah, they came in, it's pretty clear they were sending a message, you know. And I don't think like Nebraska was being overly cocky about its run stats, but Michigan definitely looked at it and was like, we'll see. And then, you know, it is what it is. There's a reality to this football landscape right now, and it was pretty clear where we are. Some of that is excusable, you know, in terms of the talent gap. I get all that, but you know, there's other factors that made that game frustrating, and it wasn't just the talent gap. It was a couple of things. Now there's reasons for all that, which we can get into, but Yeah, as far as the litmus test goes, listen, we all kind of knew where we were as far as how we rank within most of the Big Ten. I don't think we all maybe realized how far away Michigan was. Now, I think like Michigan looked way better than I thought they were going to look against us on offense. I just was kind of flabbergasted the way they pushed us around. So, yeah. but that doesn't mean we can't still fight for something and have something to play for. It's just like right now there's a tier system and we are not there where Michigan is. And that would be kind of unreasonable for year one right now.
Yeah.
But they are really good. Matt, they're really pretty good. They got some good things rolling right now.
I think the frustrating thing that people could have is that the realistic, I think most people thought it could be more realistic that we'd be more competitive. Like it was pretty uncompetitive from the first snap and they went right down the field on us. And then we get the ball back and we do next to nothing. I mean, two plays and we throw the interception before you know it, you're down 14-0 and this game's out of hand. And I was surprised. I wasn't surprised that Michigan ran for more than, you know, the 60 yards that we were allowing a game. That didn't surprise me. I was surprised at the ease that they went right through us, that I figured maybe we'd see a little more resistance there. I thought some of our tackling was poor. Some of that obviously can be attributed to Michigan. Don't get me wrong, but some of that too is, I mean, we were trying to base when we said it was a litmus test last week was look at what we've seen through these first four games. None of those teams being Michigan, obviously, but you're seeing some things right. You're seeing some good tackling. You're seeing physical football. So how's that going to match up against Michigan? And I mean, Michigan is every bit as good as advertised. I will say this, you know, we've talked about like, you know, how would this Nebraska team do against Nebraska 2 years ago? That Michigan team, having seen both of them in person, that Michigan team this year would have beat the snot out of that Michigan team 2 years ago. And that team 2 years ago went to a playoff. So I'm telling you, this team is legit. Still, it was just disappointing that we didn't look a little more competitive in it. That part is frustrating no matter what. Yeah. But,
you know,
it is what it is.
What's the next topic after that? Because there was another. I mean, let's just keep pushing.
Well, I mean, we'll just go. It's don't let Michigan beat you twice. And really, Redcasters are following along. I'd love to get your comments on this too. Is what was your take from that game? Were you disappointed? Is it exactly what you thought, or was it worse than you thought, or heck, did you somehow think we played better than you were expecting? But anyways, don't let Michigan beat you twice, Mac. And we would have said this no matter what the final score was. It was going to be a physical game. And we've got seven more games left. And so don't let this game linger into next week.
Yeah, that's pretty crucial. And how we bounce back on a short week makes it even more so. You know, we got to win this game against Illinois. That's an important game. It's a very important game. And it's a very winnable game. But, you know, and it's kind of funny because Rule sort of just – he kind of laid it out there and set himself up for the criticism that, you know – we'll see what this team is made of this Friday night. And I do believe they can play well and win this game. I believe that, don't you think? If Nebraska plays well going into Illinois, they're going to win. I think that. But will they?
I'm sure. I mean, there's a – we gotten a little bit of a – Boomer sent out a tweet, and I'm putting it on Boomer because he's the one that sent it. It wasn't a bad tweet. It was that – he was being very realistic after the loss. He goes, Illinois is not very good. We got to, you know, keep getting better. If we want to reach the bowl game and reach our goals, Maryland looks more challenging now than ever. And a bunch of responses of people going like, what are you saying? Anything about like anyone else being, you know, a challenge or whatever, you know, we're not very good. And people were really beating him up there. I didn't think anything he said was wrong. Look, the rest of this schedule isn't real good. Now that doesn't mean that we are either. So, you know, I think we can beat anybody left on this team, or on this schedule. We can beat anybody left. We can lose to anybody too. I mean,
we still have a chance.
We can go 0-7.
I mean, like it or not, we still have a chance to round out the season and be a good team. Like if we make a run here on this last half of the season, if we get things straightened out and the line kind of finds itself and Prochazka's ready to go now and, you know, Heinrich continues to grow. There's a lot to like about this, but you know, injuries have taken a toll. You know, and you can say, oh, you know, everybody's got injuries. I mean, at this point in the season, yes, I agree. But year one of a new staff, who you had some depth issue at some spots. These are some big injuries, Matt. You know, you have Betts leaving at the beginning of the year. You have a IGC gone. Buford gets hurt. Then you lose Reimer. You lose, you know.
Both running backs.
Singleton. Running backs. Your starting quarterback. I mean, these are kind of significant. And we're, you know, just got to get through game five. So, sure. And again, yes, it's football. Everybody has to deal with it. I understand that. But it does make a bit more of an impact, you know, when you're in year one versus like year seven, like if a Michigan had some guys missing, you know, or
sure.
I know, like Iowa's lost their, you know, for a while, at least their starting quarterback, but they'll have an easier time just because it's not year one for that whole team. You know, you could acclimate to that a little bit better, but when it's year one, I just think the impact's a little bit greater. It's not an excuse, you know, for necessarily not playing hard, but it's just there's been some hits, you know.
Yeah.
Let me also say this. If every single one of those guys was healthy and ready to go 100%, that Michigan team was going to probably have maybe a little harder time, but that still would have been a dub. I mean, that team's really good. You know, for all the people talking about this, you know, like it. If they play a good game of football, and even if we play a good game of football, the disparity in talent right now between the two squads, even if Nebraska was completely maximized, you're going to have some things go your way to win that game. They're just, you know, that's just the difference. That's just the reality right now.
Yeah. I mean, you made the statement that, you know, how hard did we play? Now that's a different question from how well you played. Did we play hard? You know, did we give great effort? It's interesting to me about what Coach Rhule talked about in his presser today, that they had a hard practice yesterday, Sunday. They came back. Now, we have to also understand that they're working with a shortened week. So normally they have these hard practices on Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, now you're playing on a Friday night game. So, I mean, they were going to maybe change up the week anyways. But I personally love it. I love that we don't come back from a rough game, a bad beatdown, which is what it was. Well, we could have sat on Sunday and, you know, come back and have a soft practice on Monday and, you know, get healed up and all this. They went back out and they were physical again, he said, right away yesterday. And I think that's part of creating the culture, the word that we always use, and, you know, wanting to get it going. But, you know, we got to get better. We got to win games this year. We've got to continue to show that kind of improvement, because really, that moves us to number three, and it's these next four games. There's so much to play for still. And this month of October, the calendar just switched. This month of October is gigantic. To play at Illinois, to have a bye week, to come home and play Northwestern, to come home and play Purdue, and then go on the road to Michigan State with all the turmoil and everything that they've had there. These next four games are huge. If we have these goals of reaching those six wins at minimum, the race to six, get to a bowl game. These next four games, you darn near, you got to win about, I'd say, three of them at minimum to get to that. And so we've got to, and the thing is, we can't let Michigan, and as good as they were and as bad as that beatdown was, we can't let that loss dictate how we're going to play these next four games, because these next four games, we're not playing Michigan again.
Well, and that's what the team needs to understand. I'm like, okay, hey, listen, Michigan's Michigan. That's great. They're really good this year. We still got stuff that we want to accomplish as a team, and that still requires us to play really good football. And there's teams out there and games out there to be won. And it'd be, you know, so don't, like, you can't sweat Michigan that much. It's number, they're a playoff team. We're not. And, you know, it's not like don't compete with them, but I'm just saying, you can't, going forward, it's like, okay, that one is what it is. But there's still beatable teams on our schedule, and let's go do that. You know, that's not going to take a miracle to win a lot of games or win what we have left. You know, it would have taken a miracle with Michigan, but with the remaining schedule, it just takes pretty good football. Let's see what that looks like. You could win some games with that.
Yeah, Anthony says there's a legitimate path to 4-0 these next four, but they're going to have to get their poop in a group to do so. That's a good way of saying it, Anthony. You know, we still played a fairly clean game against Michigan, all things considered. Harburg obviously had the one interception there where it got bounced up in the air. And by the way, every single – we weren't going to beat Michigan. But if there's a ball that gets tipped up in the air, they catch it. We tipped one up in the air, and we don't have someone there for it. Their punt lands in front of the guy, bounces up, and he just miraculously picks it up out of the air and runs it for 40 yards. Great teams. We said this, Mac. You know, Nebraska back in the 90s and 80s and all that, we would have that bounce go our way. The end of the Missouri game, the kick goes to, you know, all that. You know, we would get every bounce, and great teams seem to get those bounces. And right now, we're not a great team, and we still don't quite get the bounces.
No, that was an early indicator to me. As soon as that one got tipped in the air, I'm like, oh, God. The momentum's – they haven't – nothing had changed in terms of that. Like, we hadn't done, and I don't even put that on Rule necessarily. There's just something about Nebraska football that has to be dealt with. And it's, I just don't get these bounces we don't get. I don't mean to sound paranoid, but it's crazy to me. Like, the guy from Michigan caught it over his shoulder, and he was a defensive lineman. Like, when his ball got tipped, it went to the second level and nobody was around it. I'm like, unreal.
Yeah. Skurs fan 23 here says a 1620 radio got my hopes up for the Michigan game. I wonder, we haven't had anybody call the Redcast out yet that we got their hopes up, but I don't think we were, I think what we were trying to do was, you know, give our keys to the game. We never, at least you and I, Mac, we never go out there and predict scores or anything like that. That's not our thing. Rob predicted a win. Yeah, Rob on a Herd at Sports video that they did the morning of when they were tailgating, he was on their video and he predicted a Husker win, but it was like 24-17. He didn't do anything too crazy. But it was, you know, it was just tough. I mean, we didn't quite we didn't show up the way that I wanted to here. And yeah, champions make their own luck. Vince Lombardi, that's a great saying there.
Yeah.
Well, and that takes us, I think, to number four. And we talked about this a little bit with some of the injuries already, but it's next man up. And so we're at that point in the season, injuries start to happen. Rule talked about Mekhi Bear moving to inside linebacker with Luke Reimer being out for the time being. So Reimer was already kind of injured even the week before. And then the morning of the game, I think they still had him where he was maybe going to be playing, but he ended up having to go to the hospital for some undisclosed purpose.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was obviously out for the game. He's out for this weekend's game. So Bear moves to inside linebacker. Omar Brown, number one safety. They've got Kobe Brett moving up to number two. Yep. DeAndre Barnes moving up to number two Rover. And then wide receivers, I think this is interesting. Rule talked today about them. You know, obviously Malachi Coleman, Jalen Lloyd, those two guys, they pretty much are burning the redshirt. They're playing. Okay. And then Jaden Doss now being healthy enough that might be playing this weekend against Illinois, getting out there. And that's what we need right now. We need guys stepping up and the next guys, you know, coming in.
Well, you know, that makes sense. And that would be cool. That would be developmental, right? As we've kind of gotten further into the season, we've made through some of the – it's been a really weird but still difficult schedule at the beginning of the year, you know. It's just been a lot of challenging things all at once. But now we're kind of through that. We sort of – I do think we figured some things out on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think the Michigan game, you got to look at it like a blip because it's not going to do you any good to ponder it. You didn't play well, agreed. You didn't have the fire. Yes, that's sort of an issue. Oh, well, it's move on time, you know? So I don't know. I think this team could still end up being a pretty decent team. And I think we found out some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, what about the running back spot here? Fongwei says, you know, should Josh Fleeks be the new running back number one? Season stats is one carry for 76 yards. Skurs fan followed that up with interested in seeing Fleeks again. You know, Fleeks, obviously, it's one carry. It's at the end of the game against Michigan's backups. But he showed some speed and hit the hole hard. So, again, as you're trying to just identify more players, more talent, more guys that can get out there, what did you think of what you saw from Fleeks?
Well, I loved it. Yeah, I think they should hand it off to him way, way more. Yeah, you know, he looked fine. He looked quick. He took one to the house. That was good to see. I know they were Michigan's backups, but still he ran away from them, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need help back there. Felix probably understands protection a little bit better than some of those young guys do. So it makes it a little more natural for him to come in and play. Plus his hands are, I'm sure, he's a wide receiver. So that's a natural part of the game for him. So it could really work out. And, Anthony had another fumble. So it's raised its head. So you can tell the staff is looking for answers. They're trying to shuffle some people around and try to maximize what they can do. Mm-hmm. But, I do see some progress with that. I don't know what I was expecting entirely from how I thought this team should grow from this game. But I wanted to see if our defense was for real. I think we all did. And I just don't feel like the defense gave it everything they could. Now you lose Singleton right away. You don't have Reimer. That changes the tone of your defense, but still the backups have been playing good. So I didn't expect them to play poorly.
Yeah. Generation Red says he was quite fleet-footed. That was very nice there. Fongwei, to your point about defense, he says, can we now say the defense is not good? They gave up more points than East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers to Michigan. I'm not ready to make that kind of comparison there, Fongwei, but I would say it was not their best day against the best team that they're going to play. But this defense, we're going to see if they're good or not based off of these next four games against teams where Illinois' offense hasn't been very good. So if Illinois' offense goes off on us, I'd say that you have a bigger point than you have right now. But right now, I'm not going to make that statement off of one game against Michigan. And then Beth on our Facebook channel, she's watching there, need to motivate players to step up and make some big plays after injury losses. Huskers have talent. And I think that's what it's about right now. It's about finding who those players are, whether it was Fleeks at running back. That's just one more person out there. How about the kicker spot? Today, he talked about how Alvano still has the kicking spot, which, let me be very clear here. We can have two discussions at once with Alvano. I won't listen to anyone that would sit there and say he's a bust or anything like that. Far too early. The guy's a freshman. All those things. I think he's the future of our kicking position. Mm-hmm. And at the same time that you have that discussion, I think it's also fair to have a discussion that we also have Bleak Road on the team right now, a senior, a guy who kicked the ball pretty well for us a year ago. Like what's going on right now with him that he's not any better right now in these 40 yard and shorter kicks? How is Bleak Road not able to go out there and do what he already had done for us a year ago? That would be a question I think is a legitimate one without calling out Alvano and saying, I'm not sitting there saying the kid's a bust or that, made a bad decision. I'm just saying right now he's one of four and he's missing pretty badly some fairly, short kicks that our other scholarship kicker on the team made a year ago for us. So why isn't that fair to question?
Yeah, dude. And we're going into kicking season. You know what I mean? This is a position that is going to come up a lot because we are going to be in these games. I really believe that we are coming in. I feel like our defense is going to bounce back. We're not just going to forget how to play D entirely. We'll make the adjustments we need to off of the personnel changes. And I do think they'll come back hungry. I hope they do. I mean, like Rule said, we'll find out. If they come back swinging this week against Illinois, I really like our chances. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If I see that. And I do think the offense is still growing in the right direction. I just think what Michigan was going to present was never going to help us. We just weren't capable of scheming around it or playing around it. It was just we were outmatched. Listen, we all knew the offense was going to struggle. We all knew that. That was not a surprise going into that game.
Yeah.
The defense was a surprise.
It was a surprise to see them score in, 3 minutes or whatever. That, to me, was like you and I were sitting there going, problem. No. Like, right away. That was way too easy, and now you're already coming from behind, and whatever your offensive game plan was is going to get – knocked out of the park if you start falling behind early. That's the one thing. We made such a point last week, and I don't think it's a bad point to talk about option football. But if you ever, would talk to Coach Osborne or listen to him talk about option football, he would always talk about defensively, you have to play a style of defense to keep you in those games so you can keep playing what you want. If you fall behind 28 points and you're an option team, it's really hard to come back, right? So you have to play complementary football. When we saw Michigan go right down the field like that, it's like, it's just going to be hard to do that. But next man up, I think it kind of fades in here, or kind of segues nicely into number five, which is the developmental part of this program, development youth. We've already mentioned a lot of the youth, but this is a hallmark of Coach Rule's teams, is that you're going to be a developmental program. You're going to get better as the season goes on. You're going to keep finding more players. So some of those youth, some of the young guys are going to step up. Somebody that hasn't made a play yet all of a sudden is going to make a play the next game. And one other position that we saw, he's not necessarily a young guy. He's someone that's played for us quite a bit in the past. But by the end of the game, we started seeing Prochaska out there at left tackle, even in some of the potential garbage time. And I'll tell you what, it was I think that we need to make that move. It's getting closer every week that he really needs to get healthy at that position and be ready to go, I think.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, I think they, everything needs to be evaluated on the offense to make sure it's working. And for sure, he got beat a couple times early, but, you know, I felt like he settled in there and it looked a little bit better. This is just such a hard game to judge. They were just not giving us anything. It was hard getting pushed, but you know, to hear Coach talk about it, he's, you know, a lot of missed assignments, this and that, and, you know, that's probably always true, but sometimes good teams make you miss assignments. You know, it's like, how come you didn't get in front of that guy to block him on this play? He's your assignment. It's like, I couldn't catch him. You know, he was too fast. He was gone before I get to him. Sometimes that's the difference. You're like, yes, I missed the assignment, but also I couldn't make that assignment. The other guy was too good. You know, so probably a little bit of both is true. And that's look, it's not that big of a surprise. It just sucks, you know, and it sucks that even that we didn't bring our fight that we really would have liked to see. But, you know, onward and upward, got to move on. Like you said, don't let them beat you twice. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're kind of at the halfway point here. And as we like to say, if you enjoy this kind of content, give us a thumbs up, give us a like here, subscribe to the show if you're not already, leave comments below. We want to hear this. We want to get your feedback. And while we're at it, we like to talk about our sponsors and the people that are supporting us. I'm wearing my Pipeline Jerky shirt here up on top of the screen. You see the Herd At Sports logo, that we're part of the Herd At Sports Network Alumni Hall, 2 Lincoln locations. And then we got Smack and Smooch. I'm wearing the Smack and Smooch hat right now. Smack and Smooch, which is they create our e-store and have all of our shirts and koozies and sweatshirts and everything that's good there. You can use the QR code that's on top of our screen anytime you like and get yourself some of that wear there. Mac, you're wearing one of the shirts and a hat too, I see. So, yep, Shane and Laura out there in Elwood. Yep, Shane and Laura out there in Elwood, Smack and Smooch. All right, well, let's –
That was perfect.
Thank you.
You're an excellent ad reader. Are you freestyling that?
I was freestyling that one. Vegas Jer here. Remember when Osborne told Saban, you're not as bad as you think you are? That's an interesting comparison there, because that was the very first game. Well, that's a really good comparison, actually, Jeremy, because that's the very first game, Michigan State of Nick Saban. Yeah. And Osborne is – that's, of course, the first game of the 95 Huskers, right? So the greatest team, or second game of the 95 for us. It was the first game for them. We had already played Oklahoma State. Yep. And we just annihilate, you know, 55 to something. And I remember listening to Saban talk about, like, he said, oh, man, we're terrible. We're not going to be a good team at all. And it was Osborne going up and kind of talking to him about that. And I don't have the exact – somebody can look this up. I think Michigan State ended up going like 6-6 that year. But, you know, he got done with that game and he felt like, I don't know if we're going to win another game the whole year the way we played. Not taking into account the fact that we just played the 95 Huskers.
Right.
And
I think Tony Banks on that team. That was a pretty good team.
Yeah, they had some good players there. I think they had a running back and wide receiver both. They even went to the NFL. But they were playing the 95 Huskers.
Cedric Shaw and Musa Muhammad, I think.
Yeah. But the comparison to now, I don't know if Michigan of this year is, I don't know how to compare them to the 95 Huskers, but I'll tell you what, that's as good of a team as I've seen come into Lincoln, Nebraska in a while. And I've seen the Ohio States come in here. I was there in 15 when Michigan State was number 6 and undefeated, and that was a future college football playoff team. This Michigan team would dominate that Michigan State team. So I think this is a really legit Michigan team, and it's using that same, those same, you know, eyes there that you're talking about here, Vegas Jer. Looking at Michigan from that and looking where we're at right now, it's easy to go, you know, have all these bad, oh God, I don't know if we're going to win another game kind of thing. Instead of looking at it as we're not certainly not going to play that team again. And, you know, this is where this is a litmus test part two. This
God have mercy on us if we do.
How do we come back and play Illinois this week? This is a team that has struggled offensively, Illinois. This is a team that just got beat pretty bad by Purdue last weekend. This is a team that is kind of reeling on their own. And they thought coming into the season, this was going to be, you know, an up season for them. And they've already, you know, they're already below expectations. And so it's a Friday night game. It's on the road, all those things. We've been out there the last couple of times in Champaign, Mac. But, I mean, this is a game where it's a must win for us. I really, truly believe that. I think we've got to get a win like this, get it on the road, get to 3-3 after 6, and then, you know, really have a good second half of the season.
Totally possible. I don't – what are your expectations of that? Like, what kind of – do you – or what kind of percentage points would you give us coming out looking fired up?
Well, like Jeremy says, we might play Michigan in the Big Ten Championship. That's where I'm going to stop and not quite agree there, Vegas Jer, but I love you, buddy. I love the motivation there. I think we can certainly I mean, litmus test, how are we going to play this week? I think that this team can turn around and play a very inspired game down there in Illinois. I hope they do. I mean, that's – Coach Rhule is such a positive coach. I think that's one of the things that's such a strength of his, that this isn't something, you know, I would think back into the, we always say that teams play in the style and the manner of their coach. Think of Bo. Mm-hmm. When Bo was here, you know, you could just almost feel how the team was going to play. Oh, he's all pumped and excited, man. They're pumped and excited. He gets pissed and he's yelling at some dude. And all of a sudden the whole game just goes, you know, just straight down. Right. I mean, you could just feel the roller coaster with Coach Pelini. Mm-hmm. With Coach Rhule, he's very even keel. He's very calm. I don't think that he's treating this week any different than he would any other week. We're going to be consistent. And every week is about going 1-0. It's about erasing that last game, whether you won it or lost it. You know, we go out this week and we beat Illinois 42-7, just annihilate him. We have this great win. You know, everything's all good again. And I think next week he would be all about his entire, or I guess that would be going into a bye week, but his entire bye week then would be about consistency, and we have to get better, and we've got to be 1-0 the next week, and you got to take that last victory and you know, erase it. It doesn't matter anymore. It's in the past. So I think he's well suited to get them to play well this Friday.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's honest with them about what needs to be improved. I think the guys are willing to work on it. It was just a little discouraging, you know, for what you're – I don't know. Like, it was what it is. But it was like it's titled. It was a litmus test. We are where we are.
Yeah. It's Fongley says don't get too carried away with Michigan. Remember, it could still be argued that they had a very light schedule and they struggled with Rutgers for half. I'm not buying that, Fongway. And I'll say I'm not sure they struggled with Rutgers. They gave up on the third play of the game, they gave up like a 70-yard touchdown pass on a slant, and Rutgers didn't do anything the rest of the game. That almost reminds me in some ways, not to keep going back to the 95 Huskers, but I can remember us playing Washington State in 95, and they had a running back, Duda, I think his name was. Duda, Frank Duda or something like that. And he ran like a 90-yard run on us. And they scored right away. They're up like 7-0. And it was like, you know, Peter and Wistrom and those guys are on the sideline. They're like, yeah, that's never happening again. I think they ended the game with less rushing yards than he got on that one run. And and they they didn't score again until very late in the game. But the point was, is that when the defense, you know, wanted to turn it on, then, I mean, that's Michigan's a much better team than Rutgers was. Michigan's a much better team than they don't have a great schedule until they get to the end of the season. That's right. When they're going to play Penn State and Ohio State. But I don't see Ohio State beating Michigan this year. And I know that that's the big rivalry. It's going to be Penn State and Michigan, I think, are the two teams in that East that are going to playing for it.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Michigan's pretty legit. I really do think they're pretty legit. And certainly, yeah, they're a top five team. They're a playoff team. I mean, the way they look to me, I mean, I really didn't expect, and I don't think we'll see it again this year, where another offense handles our defense like that. I don't think we'll see that again this year. So I do think that's, at least I hope not. You know, that would be really embarrassing. Yeah. I could allow it with Michigan, but if it happens again, you know, it's like, damn it. It was smoke and mirrors, you know? But I don't think it is. Just based on the way we've been tackling and hitting for most of the season, you know, I think part of the reason the tackling looked worse is because we were tackling better athletes, you know, and they were better at getting away. Again, I don't want to make that as an excuse, but I think that's one of the reasons, you know, not necessarily the factor, but or the entire reason, but part of it.
Yeah. For us, we're going to go back to the progress thing. Progress for us is getting to a bowl game, and that's what we've got to keep the eye on here, you know, and so it's – we're 5 games in, we're 2-3. Getting to 3-3 at the end of the first half is really important. You're halfway there. And then you have the second half where 4 of your 6 games are at home. So this is a really crucial game for Nebraska. Win this game, get a road game, a road win against a P5 in division, you know, opponent. And you know, that's a feel good moment going into the bye week, which can help a lot of ways. So big weekend here, you know, Illinois is big week. You know, that's where I'm going with it.
Well, and you know, still, if Nebraska made a run late in the season after this game, that could still ignite the fan base. You know, people would go crazy for that. So, like, if we just went on and really started playing pretty good football within the context of the team that we have, and say maybe a few less catastrophic injuries would be nice. I think this team could have a fair amount of success, and I think that would make the fans. I think that would go a long way in appeasing the fans.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot right now with the fans that, you know, they just announced the stadium additions are going to go on, or the reconstruction of renovation of South Stadium, but also all of Memorial Stadium. And that's going to move some fans. That's going to decrease our stadium from, you know, 80,000 to 62,000 for 2 years. Well, 1 year for sure, 2025, potentially 2 years. And that's going to displace some fans. Some fans are not going to have tickets that normally would have tickets. And, you know, there's a real danger there where Nebraska's got to get good during that time. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're someone that you had tickets and all of a sudden you're not sitting in the stands for a season or two, and you get used to not being, now you're sitting there at home watching the game and, oh, the tickets are available again. Now do I go back? I mean, the team, they've got to give you something there. I mean, Mac, we were at that game, and when it's 90 degrees and you're not doing well, it's real easy to get up from your seat and leave. And and so we saw that. I am not one of those you know, sellout streak conspiracy guys or anything like that, but I'm just saying the reality of you know, they've got to win football games to keep people excited and keep people into it. And this season was a tough one with the way the season started, 2 games on the road, but you know, we always talk about needing momentum, and the momentum just never got there. You know, you're 0-2 by the time you're starting your first game there. So at home, and that's tough. That's tough. Completely supportive of Coach Rhule here in the staff. I mean, it's not anything, you know, against that. It's just we've got to start getting some of these wins in these next 4 games. I think that's how crucial these are. We've got to get some wins against these teams that, you know, enough talking about Michigan. These next 4 teams are teams that, the expectation has to be there to get it. Now, Anthony Hayek here, he talked about Maryland's offense may be able to move the ball fairly easily. Unfortunately, we've shown to not really be able to slow down the passing game. And obviously, you know, the Tua's younger brother, the quarterback there, you know, he's mobile and he's a hell of a quarterback. He'll be one of the best ones we play this year. And you know, we've lost some of that pass rush now the last two games that we really hit on those first three, you know, all those sacks that we got the last two, we haven't got them. So that's an area that we have to rediscover, I think, some of that here in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we get Cameron Leonard healthy and ready to go. He was practicing, so hopefully he's back even this weekend, and maybe we can start to get some of that pressure going again there. So, you know, it's just it's going to be a little bit of that kind of roller coaster, but you know, there's an opportunity here with the teams that we're playing, and if we can make some subtle improvements here on offense and defense, there's chances here that I think these next four games that we can make up a number of wins.
What if they come out, Matthew, and they win, you know, by seven, by a score, maybe a touchdown in the field goal. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if they did something like that, or even just a touchdown, but it was pretty a comfortable game. We played well and we won by seven. What does that do?
Yeah. Against Illinois. Well, yeah, I think it does. I think it does a lot because you're done on Friday night. You now have 2 weeks off with the bye week. And,
no. Well, like, I'm saying, what does that do for you as a fan? Like, what does that change in your mind? If you see that kind of performance from this team?
Well, I mean, it would probably, I guess it would show progress. I felt that way last year when I saw us beat Rutgers and Indiana in back-to-back games. I felt that there was immediately progress once Mickey and Bill Bush got involved and we were playing better football. Yeah. And we were playing better football. And the losses that we had the rest of the season were all close losses, shocker. And then we go and we beat Iowa to finish the season. And that's what we want to see right now is you got to be in every game. That there's no more blowouts. Even like throwing out Maryland having some offensive success against us, they might, but there can't be any more blowouts, or Maryland can't come into Lincoln and do that. And what am I saying? Like, if it happens, you know, because if I say that and Boomer was on the show, Boomer would say, okay, well then what would you do if we had one? Well, nothing. No one's getting fired. I'm not saying anything like that. It's just, if you have blowouts, that's where you have the danger of the fans just going, oh, you know, that's the danger. You don't want to have that.
Right.
I think there's so many positive things going on right now inside the program. I think there's so many positive things that Coach Rhule is doing with the style of play, with recruiting. I mean, we got one more in-state kid to flip last week, the tight end from Papillion La Vista that was going to Pitt.
Another tight end?
Yeah, so he's coming to Nebraska now. So that's now seven in-state kids. And the last, number eight, would be Benning's kid, Caleb Benning.
He's got to be close, right?
Yeah, he's got to be close.
He's going to come to Nebraska. Why would he? The facility is going to be awesome. It looks like a fun defense to play in, doesn't it? I mean, I feel like this is, if nothing else, I feel like this defense looks like it's fun. It's, you know, if you're really flying around, you know. I think it's probably an easy one to recruit to. So, and they've shown success too. So I think that's been appealing. Like, that's why, again, this next game is very important. We got to get that stuff back on track. It'll help recruiting to finish out strong, because we really need to show, some of these kids, oh, Nebraska's doing something. They're growing something.
Yeah. We got a couple comments here. Travis says, to me as an outsider, seems like a bad idea altogether to permanently decrease the capacity. Ticket prices going up, having to do something to maintain the revenue. That's not actually really true, Travis. Though the one thing that they don't have a backlog on right now, or the one thing they have a backlog and a waiting list on, are all the suites. And so there will be plenty of suites that are going to be part of the South Stadium rebuild. But there's just no way to rebuild the stadium and turn all of East Stadium and West Stadium into chairbacks along with the South Side without decreasing some of the capacity. That's just the natural thing that's going to happen with it. Now on the north side of the stadium, they're going to maintain all benches up there, and they want to have, I believe, at least 8,000 seats that are going to have no donations tied with them. I think that's what I heard them say. So they want to keep a fairly substantial number of seats for people, for the affordability standpoint, because that was one of the three pillars that Trev said. He wants to make sure that they keep it affordable for a certain amount of the people that are in the stands. And so if there's 8,000 tickets that you're not paying any of that extra donation with, that's one way of doing it. But yeah, I mean, when you're adding a whole bunch of new suites and a lot of different kinds of suites too. I mean, this is going to be some triple decker South Stadium. You know, that's what it's going to look like. And they're going to have, you know, club seating, and then they're going to have these loge seats, these loge ones, I think they are. And they'll have suites that have
first time I've ever heard that word. Loge.
Yep. And I mean, they'll have so many different ways to sell sell tickets in that South Stadium as part of the rebuild. Also what they're doing in the West Stadium, you know, they're probably going to do some kind of big club area underneath, you know, once the training table vacates their study area that they have underneath there and life skills area, all that moves to the new Norse facility. So all of West Stadium opens up underneath it, and you build some huge club area under there that, you know, there's going to be places for the big donors to be able to do things that they want to do. There's going to be places for other people to have new ways of having suites and different ways of sitting. When I went to the Tennessee Stadium a year ago, they were doing a lot of the same stuff. They actually, some of the stuff they were doing to the stadium decreased their stadium under 100,000 seats. Now he goes, the guy that was giving me the tour there is like, we don't like to tell this to volunteer fans because, you know, they don't want to hear that the stadium's gone under 100,000, but they tore out a section of seats on the north side up in the balcony and put a big jumbotron up there, but then also had these different types of seating areas, high tables that people could be sitting on, and you bought a ticket basically for a table, not really for a seat. And
dude, that'd be so sweet.
That's just different ways to get people in there.
Yeah, that'd be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so much better, but it's it'll be really cool when it's all said and done, I'm sure of it. But they got to start justifying the investment on the field. And listen, man, that's a lot of Rule's got so much pressure on him right now for the facilities that are getting put up and it's being suggested to be put up, and you know, the NIL and just the TV revenue money. Like, you have everything you need. You better produce quickly, well, including the salary.
It's like what we asked Coach Osborne, you know, when we had him on a year ago. Right away, we asked him, how would you navigate today with NIL and all the things, the transfer portal? And his first answer was, well, I'm glad I don't have to. And we've always said, you know, Coach Osborne would have done great in any era. He's just great coaches would adapt, but there is a lot that you have to deal with there. Now, I like what, of course, Mettinger here, we love him. He goes, NU didn't hire Rule based on the history of his win-loss record in year one. He's absolutely right there. In fact, if we, your point here, Mac, if we won by 7 points this weekend, if that's what we won by, and we got to 3 wins, that would already match his winning numbers combined in years one at Baylor and Temple, which we've said all along were completely different situations they took over compared to here. But just we're always trying to keep a little bit of perspective here, right? I mean, it's not about lowering expectations. Yeah. It's about just where are we at and who are we playing and what was the situation. But
it's more like trying to have a healthy mind shift away from all the things that horrify you about Husker football currently. And it's like, but also these things can be true and we can focus, you know, yeah. So there are good things. There are nice things that are happening and going on. It's 100% true. It's 100% true. It's just always sad to find out that your big brother can kick your ass. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just felt like,
hey,
all right.
Rule said it right after the game. He goes, that game, it just sucks. He just said it.
Say that. And I was like, well said, coach. It sucks.
You know? So, I mean, he didn't say, get us now because, we'll be, get us now while you can. So,
you better get us in the next 4 years. I'm building something slow. He's growing like walnut trees or something. Yeah. I mean, we're on a different path than Colorado. And God, that's another thing that makes it hard. On Rule, it's like, listen, Deion's a 101. There's no world in which Rule could out recruit Deion, especially on a transfer portal kind of landscape. And it is what it is. That's true for a lot of coaches. Like, Deion cannot recruit a lot of coaches. Now, DM was never going to be a very good fit here for a very long time. And I just think there's a couple ways to do this job. Rule's got to take this path. He can't just do the whole transfer portal load up, you know, get everybody here.
He's got to be who he is. I mean, look, you didn't hire Rule to get the transfer portal. You know, he's not going to be a transfer portal whiz. He'll go after a little bit. He went after it quite a bit this last offseason, but I imagine it's going to be fewer and fewer as years go on. He wants to be a developmental program. We want him to be. So, I mean, it's going to have to be. And being that developmental program means that we want to see development in these last seven games too. It's not just wait until next year to see that guy. I'm really anticipating that we're going to be talking about a few names in the next a month from now. When it gets to be November 1st, we're going to be talking about a couple of names on this team that we weren't talking about on October 1st. And that's going to be part of a developmental thing. There's going to be somebody, whether it was, you know, a Jaden Doss or if it's a DeAndre Barnes or whoever it is, somebody that's stepping up. And that's part of it. And so, that's fine. Or, you know what, you know who it could be? This could be, you know, egg right back on my face. Maybe it's Tristan Alvano just kicking the hell out of the ball a month from now because he's stuck with the kid. That could be it too, right? And so it's developing these players so that it's a different team that we're looking at in November than what we're looking at right now. And so, I mean, I'm incredibly excited for the rest of the season. We've got seven more games guaranteed to us. We say this every year, Mac, when it hits the off season that, oh my God, it's a long off season now. And we got to wait for 8 months for football and all this stuff. No, man, there's seven games. Let's root for these guys every single week. Let's get this going here, and let's get some wins here in these next 4 weeks, and let's get some momentum going.
Isn't it crazy there's only seven games left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's nuts. It just, the season goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, we're at the point of the season where we kind of have a good idea what our Huskers are, and we have a really good idea what our Huskers are not. You know, we are not of any kind of championship caliber this year. But we do have some talent that we can win some games with, especially in our conference. So, go out there and have some fun with it. Grow the culture, grow the team, you know, get your experience, but play really hard and play really well. Husker fans will appreciate that. And that really, if that happens, based on what we now know of this team, what I think we could count on from good play, if the quarterback position does what it should and the line does what it's possibly capable of and the defense coming back strong, that's a bowl team, you know? That's a bowl team. If the special teams just comes online, they have been, you know, for most of the season, they've been a little up, a little down, but I would say pretty even. And I feel like lately there's been a definite decline in the play. So we're getting close, like you said, that bye week. This week's important. This week's so important. Because to go into the bye week with some momentum is just so huge.
We need a win. We need a win. You know, you said the season goes by so fast. Match rules always go by so fast. We're 52 minutes in, Mac. You know what? I'm going to finish with the last question here. And this is, again, this one's coming from Mettinger. And this is on our Facebook page. And so what's so cool is we've got people following us here, watching along on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. We appreciate all of you. Redcasters appreciate it. Mettinger says, are there any areas in which Rule is underachieving based on what he said his plan was preseason? Is he meeting Trev's expectations? It's a loaded question, but I think that's a great question. So, Mac, what are your thoughts there?
I'm a little surprised at somehow how undisciplined the team still seems to be with the penalties. And then we just seem a little disorganized sometimes. I thought that would be more addressed than it has been. I like the physicality of the team. I like a lot of that stuff, but situational football and that kind of thing, I feel like that's a lot looser and a lot, not near as smooth, especially when you compare it to the defense and how smooth that stuff looks. We're just nowhere near that on offense, and that surprises me. He's underachieving in that realm for sure, because ultimately that's on the head coach, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, that's very specific of saying that turnovers and penalties, basically mistakes, those are areas that plagued us for the whole Frost era. So those are the things that we really need to see an immediate improvement on. Clearly, in the first two games, one of the reasons that we're not 3-2 right now, at the very minimum, at least 3-2, is because of turnovers. But turnovers have gotten better here the last three games. I mean, we certainly haven't had eight like we had in the first two. So that's that's a benefit there. Penalties, that continues to be a bit of a plague to us, but I think in general I hate using culture. I hate saying culture because it's I okay. know people, they roll their eyes, but hearing little things like him having that practice last night, like mm-hmm. they went right back. I remember, you know, when we were playing high school, I mean, if you had a bad game, a lot of times you're right back out there the next day or whatever. You know, coaches didn't give you a whole lot of time off when you had if you had a bad game, you might have an early morning practice or whatever it was. I mean, they're going to,
God, I don't remember that, but that sounds awful. Oh, that sounds so mean.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know, if the coaches weren't happy with what your effort was, they're going to figure out ways to get better effort out of you. And I think that he's trying to set a lot of those standards, and they're setting a high standard. We're not meeting that standard. I don't think the team is meeting the standard that they want, but they're trying to set it. They're trying to get more physical in both lines of the scrimmage up until this Michigan game. And we have to, you throw that out as an outlier. Up until that Michigan game, both lines of scrimmage definitely have shown areas of improvement, certainly more physicality than what they have in previous years, definitely on the defensive line. And that was areas that Trev focused on right away when he fired Frost. That was, you know, right away in his first press conference, was talking about a team that's going to be physical and teams that are going to make Nebraskans proud with the style of play that they play in. Yeah. Well, you know, using Michigan as an outlier, aside from that, we were a top rushing team and a top rushing defense team. So
right.
I think those are the areas, back to Mettinger's question there, that I think, you know, is he meeting Trev's expectations? I think that that's what Trev wants this team to be built in that image and likeness. And that's what Rule's doing. And we just got to let it keep getting built. And there's a development angle to that throughout the course of the season. And then you're going to have to add some more roster talent to it through recruiting and maybe a little, I'm curious what he's going to do once the season's done with the portal. How heavy do you rely on it? I know he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want this to be a Deion thing every, you know, off season, but how, you know, is it, will he cherry pick one or two or three guys here and that in an area where we're really lacking? I mean, that's what I'm curious.
I think he should. I think he should scoop up a few still in this second year. I definitely think he should. I mean, you can do your background check, but you actually have college tape on some of these guys, you know, and if it's like a lineman, defensive line, you know, but some real positions of need, I think they'll probably go pretty heavy. To me, you know, they're still kind of a little bit in that mode. You could still have a big, you know, high school class, but like you
got. Well, it's the developing the younger guys that, you know, right now, if you're looking at offensive line, is it all about going out and trying to bring in the big portal offensive lineman, or is it developing Tyler Knack, the kid that you just brought in from Utah, or is it about, you know, the kid that came in here, I can't even think of his name now, the offensive lineman from Georgia, you know, is it about developing those guys so that by next year they're getting into that too deep and playing significant, you know, reps, Lutowski, guys that aren't necessarily starting right now, but guys that are going to be, is that the developmental piece, or is it still about going out and just, you know, throwing in portal chunks to it? I don't know yet. So,
well, I mean, I think he understands the developmental, yes, but I think he understands that that's not going to be any excuse for not winning. And if there's some spots where those guys can help, like they're going to need to win too, you know, a little bit, like not under the reason. I'm not talking, well, we'll take it season by season, but I know, I feel like I have a pretty good idea of where this team could top out. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's fine. And so I have an estimation that they could win. They should win six games. They should win six games, possibly seven.
Gosh, I look at I look at Jeremy's comment here that we've had bad luck in the portal. Palmer and Ture are about it. It's a really interesting comment because those guys have been very successful for us. But everything from, you know, Jeff Sims is going to come in and be the starter right away, that was right out of the portal. Or we got those Georgia guys come in here, and not that Sherman's been, you know, a total, you know, bust or anything. He's been playing. MJ Sherman's been playing, but he was going to come in and just dominate the position. That hasn't happened.
Well,
in fact, it's Makai Bear, an existing player that's been in the program that was getting developed. He's somebody that's really stepped up and, you know, filled in a role. And, and other guys, you know, obviously, you know, and Reed Gilbert is a whole different story, but you know, sometimes we get, we get really starstruck sometimes with the four, the five star transfer. And we haven't always seen those guys, you know, show it on the field. So,
yeah,
you know, I still appreciate, I think, what Coach Rhule wants to do with being developmental. It's just, you got to do enough. You have to have enough wins along the way to keep fans happy along the way. We can't, you know, if you're going 6-6 for three seasons until you can finally go 11-1. But I'll tell you what, how patient are fans going to be? You look at Florida State right now and what they're doing and what their coaching staff did. I mean, their coaching staff, it was two seasons of losing records. And I think last year they kind of finally got to that just over the hump. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure what the exact record was last year, but it was, it wasn't, you know, they weren't a college football playoff team in year three, but now in year four, this is where they're at. I mean, that's, if that's what we're looking at, can we show that patience along the way, you know, at knowing that in year four, if that's what it was, in year four of Rhule, we're going to be, you know, 10, 11 win team. And it's going to take two or three seasons of incremental growth to get there. Can we live with that while we're rebuilding a stadium along the way too? I guess there's a lot going on in that scenario.
Yeah. You can live with it in some ways. It depends like how much the team fights, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like you got to give something to the fans along the way. You just have to. Like if you're going to do it, like there's got to be like at least one electric player that's so fun to watch, or like one big win in there too. Yep. You know,
or local kids, local kids, local recruits. Heinrich Harburg is the Kearney kid. He goes out in there and has some great game too. Yeah. All those moments. There's a big cheer at the beginning of this game before Michigan when they show the starting lineups and Harburg's up there.
Yeah,
I mean, fans want to see players like that do really well too. And so there's a lot of good moments that can happen along the way. But and as Jeremy said, and I think this is a good way of closing it out from a developmental standpoint, he goes, we need to be able to turn three stars into five stars in 2 or 3 years. That's the Iowa approach. That's the Wisconsin approach over the years. We need to be a developmental program. And so, you know, we got to stick with it, but we got to figure out ways to get some wins. And the next four games are really important ones because we can win these games here. That's where we've got to be able to, for the fans, we need to be able to see some of that tangible progress. So, you know, these next four games, it's going to be fun to watch, hopefully. And I think they're going to be tight games, but I mean, we've got a chance every single one of these to really get the, improve that record. So,
you know, despite, I know he had kind of a rough game, maybe statistically, but I still saw things out of Heinrich that I really liked, you know. I still saw some, you know, he's got some poise to him. He's got to learn those passing lanes a little bit better, but his decision-making's improving, I think, you know, weekly. And this team presented a humongous challenge, so.
Yep, Fongwei says the Michigan beatdown is not on Harburg, and I would completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's something to look forward to. That, you know, getting those balls tipped, that could be a real problem. We'll see how he addresses that. But that's one of the scariest plays, you know.
When that ball's up in the air, man. I know. Yeah. Well, Mac, parting shots time. We've gone for an hour. I hope we've brought the energy. I hope this isn't just an hour of like being down. Look, it was so much fun to go to the game with you you know, it's hard to come back from a bad loss on the scoreboard like this, but, and I know we didn't do a rapid reaction, all that kind of stuff. We're not good at that stuff. I know there are some shows that can do rapid reactions right away.
We did do a rapid reaction. We just said, well, you saw it. It's like, you know, like what do you want to say about this? That team outclassed us. We didn't play very well at the end. You know, it was just that day. It was just that day. And Michigan was sending a message, and we received it. So,
Huss Jerry says, thanks, guys. Huss Jerry and all the Redcasters, thank you. We appreciate you guys.
Thanks for the involvement. Thanks for the chat. Yeah. This is a kind of a healing session, I hope. maybe we should do some painting in the background of like Nebraska landscapes while we talk about. I'm just gonna put a little linebacker over here.
Yeah. Yeah, a little Jim Ross.
Yeah,
an
interception. Yeah. So
well again, times. give us a thumbs up, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your families, tell your neighbors about it. About the Redcast. You know, we want to get as many people as we can watching and listening. Appreciate, as always, all the following that we get from you. It really means a lot to know that we've got people that are listening and watching in on this. So that helps us out too. So we've been doing this for quite a while, and we hope to continue to do it for a while too. We're gonna get some wins, man. We're absolutely gonna get some wins. I feel it. I'm totally 110% behind what Coach Rule and the staff and what Trev are doing. We all as fans need to see some W's. It's as simple as that.
I find your faith, your undying faith, very inspiring. I really do, Matthew. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right. Well, until next time, just remember that Matt's Rule.
Matt's Rule.
'Heard at Sports Network production.